do me a favor. If you haven't gone through Rooted and you're just wondering, hey, if it's worth it, the last two testimonies, last week and this week, would encourage you and challenge you to do that. And so I just want to encourage, man, just if you haven't been through Rooted, man, talk to Pastor Kent, get signed up. It's going to be an awesome opportunity to just be challenged and grow in your faith. How many of you have your Bibles today? If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn with me. We're going to go to three different passages to start this, just really set this morning up and try and just plant some seeds of just some key thoughts, key words within these passages. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter, okay? And so if you're new here, my name is Josh McCann. My wife and I, we are the lead pastors here. And Jill, she was the one that was leading on the keys today. And she is home, and so hallelujah and praise God. And so, you know, just we'd love to just say, hey, hi, and just connect with you after service. And so if you're new, that'd be awesome. But hey, this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read just one verse there. Just again, just this thought. Verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everyone say grow up. Grow up. Lean to your neighbor and say grow up. May grow up in all things. That's a key phrase, that you and I may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, towards the back of your Bible, if you're newer to the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 2 there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that you may grow. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's right after 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace. Today, my heart is that this week and next week, just kind of do a two-part series on just this topic of maturing faith. We're going to begin a longer series later, but today, you know, we're just going to talk about this this thought of maturing faith. And the title of my message this morning is Holistic Growth. Holistic Growth. So if you're taking notes, would you write that down? Holistic Growth. Let's pray. God, we love you. And God, I thank you for what you're going to do today. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask that you would just give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for what you're going to do today in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, hey, as I said, we're going to begin a longer series in a couple of weeks. But today and next week, man, I really want to get practical in how we should approach a new year, approach a new season, approach growth in our lives as individuals and as a church, and just asking ourselves a couple questions in the sense of, like, how do we mature in our faith? How does, you know, what does that look like? And I believe with everything within me that God is asking you and I to continue to grow and mature regardless of the season of life that you find yourself in. I mean, you are not too young to grow in your faith with Jesus. You're not too young to grow in the season of life that you're in. You're not too young, nor are you too old to advance in your life and in your faith right now. You know, Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, here he is, he's on the, you know, coming into the promised land, and he tells Joshua, his leader at that time, and says, hey, you know, I am just as strong now as I was when Moses first sent me into the promised land. That's a fascinating statement, because at this point in time when he makes that statement, he's 85 years old. But he's like, hey, I'm just as strong 45 years ago as I am today. And I'm going to advance in my faith. Man, you give me that mountain, I'm going to conquer it. Man, God, I believe God honors that type of commitment. God honors that type of faith. And then you look at, you know, 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23 talks about a story of a kid named Josiah. And at 8 years old, God made him king. At 8 years old. What? That's insane. Jaden just turned 9. I mean, that's like, dude, that's, he came king. And then in this, and all of a sudden it says at the age of 26, God used him to bring a revival to the land of Israel. You are not too old, and nor are you too young for God to do incredible things in your life if you and I have this idea, this mindset that regardless of the season of life I am in, I'm going to continue to grow. I mean, continue to mature. So you're not too young, nor are you too old. And I believe that God wants every person in here to grow more in 2019. I believe that he is wanting you to take ground where you have never taken ground before. I believe that he is wanting you to advance in order to impact people's lives for the gospel in 2019 like never before. I believe that he is wanting our church to grow more in 2019. And that is going to happen when you and I decide as individuals we are going to continue to advance in our walk and in our faith. See, the only way for you and I to grow, though, to become more mature in our faith and to grow in our life, we have to be okay with change. Change is not a bad word. For whatever reason, we make it a bad word, and change is not a bad word. It's the essence of the Christian life. See, we should be changing to become more like Jesus, right? I mean, you cannot do that without being willing to change. It's contradictory. You can't say, I'm growing in Jesus, but I'm staying the same. Jesus would look at you and go, well, you're not growing. See, in order for us to grow, we must understand this concept concerning growth, and it's this. Growth is a process a person commits to, not a destination that one arrives at. Growth is a process a person commits to, not a destination that one arrives at. See, it's a lifelong process that does not end. Now, when it comes to growth, especially in the church, our minds automatically go to spiritual growth, and rightfully so. However, we have to truly understand what it means, in my opinion, what it means by that phrase, when we say spiritual growth, in order for us to truly experience what I believe God wants us to experience. For what God wants us to do in our lives right now. Now, before I give a definition of spiritual growth and I unpack that here this morning, I would like to just give you and I just a few things of what spiritual growth is not. Because sometimes in order for us to understand what something is, we first have to understand what it's not. And so I want to give you just a few thoughts on what spiritual growth isn't. And thought number one, what spiritual growth isn't, is this, is number one, is spiritual growth has nothing to do with our position in Christ. Has nothing to do with our position in Christ. And this is what I mean by that. You and I don't grow into becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian is an instant miracle when you truly say yes to Jesus through faith. Yes, there may have been a process for you to make that decision, but as soon as you come to that decision, you are instantly positioned in Christ. So spiritual growth isn't like, oh, well, now I'm positioned better. No. Like, if you said yes to Jesus, you are positioned in Christ. The moment of salvation is that moment when you and I say yes to Jesus and we're instantly taken out of the kingdom of darkness and now brought into the kingdom of light. It's instantaneous. We are now positioned in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are gone and are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are instantaneously a new creation in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, and you are complete in him. Man, you may not feel like you're complete, but if you said yes to Jesus, you're in Jesus, and God the Father looks at you as if you are complete like his son. That's good news. Because when I look at myself, I'm going, dude, I am so incomplete. But that's not spiritual. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with that. I am positioned in Christ regardless of what I do. Please hear that. Now, there's so much to that statement of what I just said. And we make theological dances around that all the stinking time. But I'm here to tell you, spiritual growth, first and foremost, has nothing to do with your position in Christ. Why? Because if you said yes to Jesus, you are positioned in him. No matter how much spiritual growth you see or don't see, it doesn't change your position in Christ as a believer. We are positioned in the heavenlies with Christ because of his sacrifice. It has nothing to do with you or me. That's good news. But number two, spiritual growth is not a matter of God's favor or God's love. And this is what I mean by that. God loves you and I regardless of what we do. Think about this for a second. Jesus knows you and I fully, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet he loves you completely. That's amazing. Because man, I got some ugly sides to me still attached to me that I'm still wrestling and trying to get out of. And God, in the midst of that, Jesus goes, yeah, I know that, but I still love you. That's amazing. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while you and I were still stuck in our sins, Christ died for you. That's awesome. That's incredible. Even in the midst of your worst days, he still loves you. God's not up there going, well, if you would just work harder, I'll love you more. Now understand, theologically, we understand that we can't do anything without his love. But just because we do a bunch of stuff doesn't mean all of a sudden now he loves us even more. Number three, spiritual growth isn't necessarily dependent on time alone. And this is what I mean by that. People can be Christians and followers of Jesus for decades and grow very little. And yet some people can become a new believer and it just seems like that they're growing leaps and bounds like never before. Now, don't get me wrong, time is a factor. We understand that because if you continue to grow over a long period of time, hopefully, because you continue to grow over a long period of time, someone who begins to grow in Christ, like has a shorter time period, hopefully you're more mature or have more spiritual growth in your life. We understand that. But how many of you guys know time in and of itself isn't a factor? It's what you and I do in the midst of the time. That's the key. Right? It's the principles that you and I work in the midst of the time that we say yes to Jesus and now we're walking with Jesus. It's the time that the principles that we work in our life, that's what causes change. That's what causes growth. So time by itself isn't the key. It's what we do. Number four, spiritual growth is not a matter of knowledge only. It's not a matter of knowledge only. Have you ever come across someone in the world that they just absolutely know their Bible? They know it inside and out, but they're not living it. They're not doing anything with it. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever met someone like that? Man, they're always learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of really what that learning was all about. Isn't that what the Pharisees did? Man, they knew their scriptures inside and out, but they didn't recognize their Savior standing right in front of them. The reality is, it's not what you know, but what you do with what you know that causes growth in your life. See, if that knowledge is not changing you and I to becoming more like Jesus, it's useless. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word. Why? Because if you and I don't become doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. We won't grow. See, but number five, spiritual growth is not a matter of activity only. It's not a matter of activity only. I mean, we would all agree, and I hope all of us would agree on this, is that you could come to church week in and week out, be really involved in serving, and still not see spiritual growth in your life. Sometimes we think, well, man, if I just stay busy doing all this spiritual stuff, if I just stay busy, then I'm just going to grow. I'm here to tell you that that's not necessarily the case. See, we understand that if you and I come to church with the right attitude, if we come to church with the right motivation, if we come to church and serve and we read our Bibles, we do those things, we understand with the proper attitude and balance to that, that contributes to our growth, right? But how many of you guys know that you could do all of that stuff and have the wrong attitude and not grow? I mean, Jesus even said this in Matthew chapter 7. Remember when he was talking to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 7, they were like, oh, Jesus, didn't we do all this great stuff in your name? We cast out demons, we healed the sick, we did this, we did that. And Jesus just looks at them and go, there is no spiritual life or spiritual growth in your life because you didn't know me. You didn't know me. See, here's the thought. Our relationship with Jesus needs to come before our activity for him. So see, spiritual growth should be a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus. But here's just a sixth thought. Number six, spiritual growth has nothing to do with material blessings. I want you to catch that. Because rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? I mean, you and I may receive blessings from God just because he simply wants to bless you. Other times he may bless you because of our obedience to what he asks us to do. And other times he may not do anything at all. But we should not equate that to spiritual growth because it may have absolutely nothing to do with that whatsoever. And let's just be very honest. Here in America, we have done a poor job with that thought. We make people feel like if they're not gaining X, Y, and Z, then they're just not spiritually blessed. They're not growing in Jesus. And, you know, if you would just grow more in God, you would have all that you know, more than enough in the sense of like you'd have, you know, a Cadillac, you'd have a Rolls Royce, you'd have all this stuff. And that does not equate to spiritual growth. A few years ago, my wife and I, we decided to like surprise our kids. And literally, we surprised them. We woke them up in the morning, and we're like, hey, Jaden and Elizabeth, they were with the grandparents. Woke up Justice and Ellie, and we're like, hey, we're going to Disneyland. And we surprised them. They had no clue, no idea that we left that early in the morning to go. And here's the thing. It had nothing to do with how mature they were. It had nothing to do with how good they were for that year. Because if it was banked on that, we probably wouldn't have gone. Right? It had everything to do with the mere fact that Jill and I just love our kids and we just wanted to bless them and make memories in that way. We have to understand our Heavenly Father is just like that. Sometimes he just wants to bless you. Even when you're a knucklehead, he still wants to bless you. And sometimes, yes, he does bless you for your obedience, by all means. But let's get real. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is sovereign. And so we can't just equate material blessing with why I'm growing spiritually. So when it comes to spiritual growth, I mean, we just talked about quick few things of what it's not. But let me just give you a definition. Spiritual growth can be simply defined as this. It's matching my practice with my position. Let me say that one more time. It's matching my practice with my position. Because of my position in Christ, I'm going to choose to live differently. Because I have now said yes to Jesus, I have been positioned with him. My spirit has been positioned with him. Now it's my job and my duty from this point on to line up my soul on the inside of who I am with my position, my identity in Christ. Why? Because my soul, catch this, your soul chooses which way you lean. If your soul is lined up more with your identity in Christ, guess which way your body's going to go? It's going to go that direction. And so we have to grab a hold of the fact that it's all of a sudden now we are positioned in Christ as believers, and how our life, and now all of our life is to change us and mold us and transform us into the very image of Jesus. And God's goal for you and me is to become more like Jesus every single day and every single year. Our church vision, becoming a people who love Jesus and show his love. We want to get better at that every single day. We want to get better at that every single year. See, now, in my opinion, and I believe I have a biblically base for this opinion, when it comes to spiritual growth, I believe with everything within me that God wants you and I to grow holistically. And I believe that true spirituality impacts every area of your life. It cannot be compartmentalized. It's not like, oh, this is my church life, this is my family life, this is my work life, this is my public life. It affects all of life. And I want you to hear just a couple scripture verses for this train of thought. Because maybe you're like, well, no, it doesn't impact this, you know. Because the world will tell you, oh, keep your religion out of X, Y, and Z. I would tell you that you are living in hypocrisy if you do that. Because what you believe should impact X, Y, and Z. It should be walked out. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So now, his focus isn't talking about bodily exercise, but Paul is pointing out, hey, listen, bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness in all things, having promise of the life that it now is, right now, your life right now, your current life that you have right now, you don't get another shot. He's saying godliness impacts the right now, and it impacts the life to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Third John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and through 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you catch those key words in those verses? It's about your spirit, your soul, and your body. So here's my big idea for this morning. See, all that to say this big idea. Holistic spirituality concerning your spirit, soul, and body. Holistically, God wants you to be mature holistically. Is an intentional journey in life, not a destination. It's an intentional journey in life. And here's the thing that I realize. Everyone ends up somewhere. Few end up somewhere on purpose. It's intentional. It's something that God wants you and I to grab a hold of. We must understand that none of us have fully arrived in this life. There is always room for you and I to grow. It's not a destination that one arrives at. It's an intentional journey. It's not aimless, you know, or done by the seat of your pants. It's intentional. It's on purpose. It's something that you realize that you have to commit to. Have you guys ever saw those bodybuilders, those guys who, like, man, they're just huge, right? They're ripped. They have like 24-inch biceps, but their legs look like mine. I wore these pants on purpose. It's like, hey, thanks, man. It's like, dude, they miss leg day every single time. And it's like, but man, they're ripped up top. I don't believe that's what God has for your life or my life. I don't believe he wants, quote unquote, your spirit to be strong, but you to be weak in your body. Because Jesus even said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are not supposed to live that way, right? So he wants our soul to prosper. Why? Because if your soul is healthy on the inside, you'll be stronger in your spirit. And guess what? Your body will follow suit. See, we have to be willing to be intentional in doing certain things if we want to see growth in all areas of our lives, our spirit, soul, and body. Holistic growth. Craig Rochelle, he said this, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Let me read that one more time. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Man, it doesn't matter what area of life you look at. If you look at a particular area of life of someone that is successful in that area, you will see a pattern. You'll see things that they consistently do in order to get them to that spot. Stephen Curry, who plays for the Golden State Warriors, he is considered the one of the top, if not the top shooter in the NBA right now. He is on his way to becoming the best three-point shooter in the NBA in the history of the NBA. There is a certain routine that he does every single day. There's a certain routine he does every single game. And matter of fact, people show up to the games early to watch his routine. He does things that most of us, not like including myself, I'm like, I don't want to do that. But because he has committed himself to that process, he is very successful at what he does. See, when it comes to our walks with God, we can sometimes look at others and say, well, God just favors them more. I'll never be able to do that. Now, obviously, God gifts us and calls us to specific things. But could I just submit to you that we could be just as successful in God's eyes if we would just commit ourselves to lifelong growth? You see, a successful marriage, I guarantee you, it's because of intentionality in their walk in their marriage that has got them success. See, this book I'm reading today, right now, it's called Atomic Habits, and it's by James Clear. It's a fascinating read. I'm not all the way through it, but so far what I've read is just really, really challenging, but really good. It's a good read. I would encourage you to read it. And the premise of the book is this. Everyone sets goals. Sports team sets goals. Successful people sets goals. They just set goals. I mean, sports team sets goals to win championships, right? But the reality is that even losing teams still have goals. And even unsuccessful people still have goals. So his point is like, so are the goals the issue? And he would argue, no, the goal is not the issue. You should actually set a goal because it gives you focus and direction in your life. However, the goal isn't what brings you success. The systems within that goal is what gives you that success. He says this, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. He would say that your systems are created by the habits you have in your life. So if you want to change your life, you have to ultimately change your habits. And the way in which you change your habits is not through setting goals alone, but creating a new system to help you become the type of person your goal wants to achieve. It's in that mindset that he would say in his mind, the goal shouldn't be to lose 30 pounds. It should be to become healthier. So what systems do you need to create in your life in order for you to do that? Because if you create the right system and you begin to address the system to develop a new habit, you'll become healthier. And the byproduct of becoming healthier is that you'll lose the weight. So I believe that God wants that in our life as a holistic idea. It's to address not just quote unquote the goals, because I'm a goal setter. But if you just achieve the goal and that's it, then what's next? His whole point is it should create a system to change who you are. And I believe with everything within me that God wants you and I to look differently at the end of 2019 than we started 2019. We should become more like Jesus at the end instead of like, well, I'm just the same. Could I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, we need to address the systems that we are currently operating in so that way we can become who God's called us to be. See, your position, your spirit is positioned in Christ, which is your real identity. And now you have to align your soul up with that. And I promise you, your habits will either cut that short or they'll help you. Let's just get real. If you hit snooze 10 times in the morning and you're always like, hey, I want to get up earlier. Guess what? You're going to have to hit snooze less to get up earlier. But there's a habit there, isn't there? That now you have to break. See, we're going to carry on this idea next week of just this idea of growth. But I want to just begin to land this plane and just give you a few thoughts from a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 13, of just a few thoughts on growth, that if you really want to grow holistically in your spirit, your soul, and your body, here's just some things that I promise you that all of us have to address. All of us have to take an honest assessment at. And number one is this. We have to decide for ourselves to grow. See, here's the passage, Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9. It's this interesting passage. It goes a parable. It says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? But he answered, the guy that owned this fig tree, answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you could cut it down. Verse where he says at the very beginning, leave it alone one more year. There has to be a decision in your life and in my life that we're like, okay, listen, I'm going to decide to grow. I'm going to make that decision to grow. And what areas, let me just ask you a question. What areas do you need to grow in when it comes to your spirit, your soul, or your body? If you find yourself getting angry all the time, you need to grow. You're shouting amen on Monday, but you're yelling at your kids, you know, on Tuesday. Like, just get real. You need to grow. I don't believe it's a good enough excuse to go, well, that's just how I am. No, that is not who you are in Jesus. That's not who we are. But we have to make a decision. There has to be this idea in us that, man, I'm going to decide to grow. What areas do you want to grow in? I mean, we have to realize that each of us have areas that we need to grow in. There's not one person that has arrived in this group. If you feel like you've arrived, I'm just telling you right now, as your pastor, the enemy has deceived you because you have not arrived. Every single one of us can grow. So you and I, but here's the catch. You and I can't grow without change. And we don't like that for some reason. But God's like, hey, if you really want to grow, you need to decide that you're willing to change. See, the decision that God, that decision has got to be yours and yours alone. Let me also just say this. I mean, we could get too spiritual with this idea too. We could just be like, it's all about, well, I'm just going to read my Bible 365 days. That's awesome. But what about like loving your spouse more? You might be like, well, that's spiritual. Well, I've seen people read their Bible and not love their spouse. I believe true spirituality is practical. I believe it affects every area of your life. And I believe with everything within me that God wants you to enjoy this life that he so graciously gave you. I believe, man, if you want to become a better mountain biker, do it. Do it and glorify God. Like, sometimes we get too spiritual and think, well, that's just worldly, Pastor Josh. No, it's holistic growth. I mean, let me just ask you a question. What is it that you really want to learn this next year? What things in this life do you just think right now you're like, man, it would just be really cool to learn? I believe that God wants us to be holistic in our approach to life with godly, wholesome fun. Just give you a simple example. Back in October, my wife and I, we went on vacation. And we ate at this one breakfast place. And I had, for the very first time in my life, Eggs Benedict. And I had it, and I was like, dude, I've been deprived 40 years of my life. This is like the best breakfast meal I have ever had in my entire life. Like, I love it. One of my goals this year is to learn how to cook Eggs Benedict. Well, that's not very spiritual. Dude, it's going to feel very spiritual when it's in my tummy, right? Like, I mean, come on. Maybe you're here and you're like, dude, I know how to cook a mean Eggs Benedict. Hook me up. I mean, I'm watching videos by Gordon Ramsay to figure out how to cook Eggs Benedict, okay? Why? Because I just think it would be cool to learn how to cook Eggs Benedict. Is it wrong? No. What is it in your heart that God's placed that he's just like, you have a passion for, that God wants to just like help you learn? You are not too old, nor are you too young. But you have got to choose to grow. Number two, we have to be willing to remove things that are holding us back from growth. He says, leave it alone one more year. And then he says, I'll dig around it. I'll dig around it. Man, if you want to read your Bible more in 2019, but you're watching TV for 3 hours a day and you say you don't have time, I could tell you where you have time. Like, we have to really, it's at this part that you and I have to get really honest with ourselves and go, what's really holding me back? What's really holding me back from growth? Because you see, it's what's happening beneath the surface of your life and in my life. That's what's holding us back. And we have to be willing to dig those things out of our life. We have to be willing to put forth the effort to say, you know what? This is no longer going to be an excuse for me any longer. Let's just get really real. If you want to get up early in the morning, don't hit snooze. Set your alarm and get up. Right? Is that practical? But how many of us, we hit snooze, including me? And it's the reality is that you have to get, why? You have to get to that question. You have to get to a spot where you dislike that habit more than the temporary satisfaction you gain from it. You have to be willing to get honest with yourself and dig that up. Why are you not, let's ask practical questions. Why do I not show up at church more? You have to answer that question. Why do I not read my Bible more? You have to answer that question. Why am I not praying more? You have to answer that question. Why am I not loving people more? You have to answer that question. You have to really get down deep inside and go, why am I not doing that? But then number three, we have to address the systems that are feeding our life and make corrections where necessary. He says this. He says, leave it alone one more year. I'm going to dig around it, but then I'm going to fertilize it. It's the very thing that's feeding you, it's creating that habit. How many of you guys know habits are hard to break? But you and I, we have to ask ourselves, what's the type of person do I want to become? Because the type of person I want to become is going to demand a new habit. The only way you and I can create that habit is by creating a new system. And so you and I have to ask ourselves, the current system that I'm operating on, am I satisfied with the outcome? Because if I'm not satisfied with the outcome, then I should change the system. See, it's the small decisions in your life that we tend to think it don't really matter. However, we have to understand that our lives are the sum total of all the small decisions that we have made. What's feeding the areas in your life right now? If it's good, ask yourself a question, how can I make it better? I believe with everything within me that my wife and I have an amazing marriage, but I'm always asking myself the question, how can I become a better husband? How can I become a better father? How can I become a better man of God? I'm asking those questions. Why? Because I want to continue to grow. And if there's things in my life that I'm like looking at and there are those things, now I have to address those and go, okay, how do I break that? How do I create a new system so that way I can be where I know God wants me to be? I believe with everything within me that God wants us to grow. But we have to address those areas that's feeding those things. If it's a bad thing, you have to address that. If you're still struggling with cigarettes and you're in here, address the habit. If you struggle with alcoholism, don't put yourself in places that have alcohol. Man, I used to struggle with alcohol tons. And now, by the grace of God, if I just smell it, I get sick to my stomach. Makes me want to throw up. But I had to address that in my life, and I believe with everything within you, everything within me, that you've got to do the same. It's just like heating water. Heating water takes a process, doesn't it? You start off cold, it gets to 80 degrees, it gets to 90, it gets to 140, then it gets to 205, gets to 211, and man, it's really hot, right? But it's that 1 degree difference that causes it to boil. And see, right now, in your life and in my life, it's that 1 degree difference that makes the difference. It's recognizing that you can't do such and such because it feeds the wrong thing in your life. And even though it's one decision here and it's one decision there, you recognize that eventually it will boil over in other areas of your life. Eating a half a box of chocolates right now, it might not notice a difference a week from now. But if you eat a half a box of chocolates 3 times a week for a year, you're probably going to see the ramifications of that decision. The same thing in the positive. Man, you and I have to look at those practical corrections, man. If I want to go to church more, then I've got to address that. If I want to read my Bible more, I've got to address that. If I want to become this type of man of God, I got to address that. If I want to be a better husband, I've got to address that. You and I have to be willing to look at what's feeding those systems so that way we can break that habit. See, I believe with everything within me that God wants you and I to grow holistically, our spirit, soul, and body. Number 4, as the worship team comes. We have to be willing to trust God with the results. Luke 13:9 says, and if it bears fruit, well, praise God. If it doesn't, cut it down. Stats show right now that 92% of you, if you made goals for New Year's, for this new year, 92% of you, we'll give up on that goal this week. Why? Because they do those things for a short while and don't see immediate results. And then all of a sudden they're like, man, it's not even working out. It's not worth it. I'm here to tell you that I believe with everything within me that God wants your spirit to be strong, your soul to prosper, and your body to be healthy. See, you and I cannot 100% control the outcome of our efforts, but I promise you that you and I will not see the growth that we desire doing nothing. Come on, you're here today and you want to grow in what it means to be a man of God, what it means to be a woman of God, what it means to be a godly husband, what it means to be a godly wife. You want to grow more in your health. You want to grow more in just serving. You want to grow more in knowledge of your job. I'm here to tell you that if you would just submit that to God and you would just do the things that you know you're supposed to do and just trust God, I believe with everything within me that God will honor your effort and that you will see a result. You will see payback. Man, if you start reading your Bible, maybe just one verse a day, for this year, maybe that's all you started out with. I promise you, you will see the change a year from now. If you just start reading just one chapter right now, I promise you, you will see a change a year from now. If you would just commit to your life to say, man, I'm going to do what I need to do to grow in God. I promise you, God will honor that and you will see growth in your life. But here's the catch. You and I have to decide to grow. We have to decide to do what is necessary, and we have to decide to address the systems that are feeding our life. See, you do all that, man, and trust God with the results. I believe that you'll see incredible things happen in 2019. But you and I, we can't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Don't give up on that goal this week. Don't give up on that dream this week. Decide today that, you know what? I believe with everything within me that God wants me to grow more in 2019, and you do what you need to do. Set that goal. Be real with yourself. And I just want to ask you just a couple questions and then we're just going to worship. But I want you to ponder just a couple questions as we close. And that's this. What areas do you need to grow in? Spiritual growth. Spirit, soul, body. It's holistic. It needs to be holistic. Why? Because it's an intentional journey. What areas do you need to grow in? I believe the title, maybe you're struggling with inside of who you are. I believe the title is Emotional Healthy Christianity. I think that's what it's called. Read that book this last year. Have a few chapters left. I remember reading it and Jill goes, well, hey, are you learning anything? I was like, yeah, I'm learning that I'm messed up. I need help. But I was on this journey this last year going, you know what? I want to grow. I want to become more healthy. And I just want to encourage you. Would you be a holistic growth person? Coming to church, awesome. Keep coming. But love your family at home. Reading your Bible, that's amazing. Speak life to your kids. You're praying, that's awesome. Pray for me because I need your prayers. But also pray for those that frustrate you with love. Let's grow holistically in 2019. But let's commit that to Jesus, because how many of you guys know without him, we can't do any of this. And so would you stand, and can we just close out with just this song? Because he is so amazing. And he is amazing. What an amazing name that is. And so can we lift up that name that's above every other name? And would you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you and to challenge you in those areas? And whatever area he begins to challenge you in, would you write those things down and then all of a sudden begin to go, okay, God, how do you want me to address that this year? So let's worship. I'll close this out in just a second in prayer.
And death could not hold Jesus.
You're here today, and I just want to pray for you that you would walk out of here and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in areas for 2019 that you go, you know what? I really need to begin to address this in my life this year. When it comes to your spiritual life, when it comes to your soul life, and when it comes to your body. Especially, like, let me just say this when it comes to our bodies. How we take care of our bodies can limit what God wants to do through us. Whether we realize that or agree with that or not, the reality is that he asks you and I to take care of all of it. Take care of your inner life. To take care of your body. Take care of your spirit. And so would you just walk out of here going, God, what is it that you want me to address? How do you want me to grow? Because every single one of us in this room has room to grow. You could be 94 and you still have room to grow. Happy birthday, by the way. It's coming up. And there's still room for us to grow. You can be 13 years old in this room and you have room, a lot of room to grow, right? Amen? They're like, all of us have room. And so I just want to pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to us and that we would be real with ourselves, because that's the key. Isn't that what we say to people that struggle with that addiction? The first step is what? Admitting it, right? Well, admit it. You got problems with chocolate. Just admit it. Own it. Maybe it's eating one box of chocolate a week instead of four. I don't know. But let's ask God to speak to us, because I believe he wants you to be strong in your spirit. He wants your soul to prosper, and he wants you to have a healthy body. So let's pray. God, I pray right now that you would speak to every single one of us. God, that we would hear your voice. And God, as we look at our spiritual life, we would address those areas that's holding us back from growing into the man of God, into the woman of God that you've called us to be. Lord, that we would address the areas going on inside of who we are, the deepest part of who we are. God, that we would address those areas. And God, that we would make inroads into how to get those things out of our life. Lord, we create new systems that create new habits, God. Lord, we would even look at our bodies and say, God, how can we become more healthier this year? Because I want to glorify you in my spirit and in my body. And so, Lord, use us, we pray, in 2019. But, Lord, we pray that we would grow holistically. And, God, that as we grow holistically, we would advance in areas that we have never thought were possible in 2019. And, God, I thank you that you're bringing change. I thank you, God, that you're bringing a movement of change and adjustment into our life, into our church. And, Lord, I give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for what you're going to do right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Man, if you're new here, Pastor Kent, he's going to be out there. We'd love to connect with you. Would you swing by and say hi to me before you head on out? And